out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message. Amen. Boy, I've just been ministering, I guess, almost the whole year on the goodness of God. Somewhere, somehow, we end up talking about how good God is. And y'all know that that Psalms chapter 21, verse number 3, says, "Thou hast met him with the blessings of goodness. Thou set a crown of pure gold on his head." Glory to God. A crown of pure gold. God has met us today with the blessings of goodness. You know, when you read commentaries, they say that the blessings of goodness are such that they are blessings that are suddenly, your life can be different in a moment of time. In 24 hours, your whole life can change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Then there's blessings that are more and sooner than expected. God bless you more than you're expecting and quicker than you think that he can. Hallelujah. So we thank God for the blessings of goodness. Amen. And we've been talking about the blessings of goodness, I guess, for about 6 months, I guess. And we're talking different aspects of the blessing. And actually, when you get right down to it, Jesus is the blessing.
Yes. Yes, he is.
And the blessing of the Lord is upon us. His blessing is upon us.
Amen.
Everybody say, the blessing of the Lord is upon me. You got to know the blessing's on you. And you got to get in agreement with it. And you got to decree it and declare it and acknowledge it. The Bible says that by faith we acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. The blessings of goodness. Well, another blessing of goodness that we're going to talk about this morning is the blessing of knowing your purpose. It is a blessing to know why you're here. Because many people, a lot of times, go through life and never really discover the reason why they were born. But God has a divine purpose for your life, and it's good. Amen. When God showed me how much he loved me personally, I'm going to tell you, it just took all the fear out of my life. All the fear just left. Praise God. The fear of consecration, the fear of being submitted to him, because in his love, I saw his goodness. His goodness is in his love. Amen. And when I saw how much God loved me, I say, well, if you love me that much, you can't have nothing bad for me. Your plan must be good. So I was willing to submit to it. And I'm still willing to submit to the plan that God has for my life. Every one of us got a book of what God planned for you. And when you're judged as a believer, you're not going to be judged for your sin. You're going to be judged according to how well you followed what was in the book for you. Amen. God have a plan for you, a blueprint for your life. And when he opens a book on your life, he's going to say, now, this is what I had ordained for you to do. This is what my plan was for you. How well did you do it? And you can even see this. You can see this even in some of the parables that Jesus talked about. When he handed out those talents, and then when he came back to give an account, tell me what you did. He was expecting them to do something with what he gave them. Amen. And then when they did well, when they multiplied and increased what he had given to them, he said, well done, what? Thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. Amen. So if you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then you have to submit yourself to God in such a way that you're living your life as close to the blueprint as you can of what God has for your life. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, says, for we are his workmanship. This is right after salvation, huh? Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, CeCe, give me that in the Amplified Bible. Listen to this. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, born again. See, when you got born again, then you entered into the plan that God has for your life. You don't even get in the plan till you get saved. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. That means something already been written before you was born about your life. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. No matter how you got here, no matter what circumstance you came here under, you are not an accident. God already knew you were going to exist, and he already pre-planned and pre-arranged some things for you to have in life. Amen. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that you should walk in them, living the good life. Now, this is living the good life. When you get in God's plan, then you start living the good life. Before, you're just existing. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So God wants you to know his will. He does not want you to be ignorant concerning his will. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Look at verse number 14. It says, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest. Awake thou that sleepest. That means, you know, sleep is like when you are not even in the plan, that you're not involved, you're not active in the pursuit of what God has prearranged and made ready for you to live. God has a plan for your life, and you're going to be judged according to how well you live up to it. Hallelujah. And people that do really get really well is going to be rewarded differently.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I know some of y'all saying, well, Pastor, I just want to make it in. All right, that's good. That's good. I just want to make it in, too. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? I'd rather be standing at the back of the door with no reward than not be in. Okay? But the Lord has prepared some things for those that live faithfully. And you know, one of the things that motivated the Apostle Paul, because he wrote this right here, one of the things that motivated him was that he saw so much on the other side through the abundance of revelation that was given to him that he didn't even want to be here no more. He said, I'm having a terrible time trying to decide whether I'm going to stay here or go. He saw so much of the other side of the glory that he really wanted to leave, but he said, you know what? But I also saw my purpose. I also saw the reason for my existence, and I'm going to stay here for your furtherance. And at the end of his life, we're going to look at that in a moment, he said, I finished my assignment. I finished my course. I ran my race. Glory to God. So Paul saw not only saw the glory of the life to come, but Paul also got a glimpse over what God had already prepared for him. And he saw the end, you know. The Lord told him from the beginning, you're going to appear before Caesar. That's part of the plan. This is what I've ordained for you. Now, he had a choice, because at any time that he faced hardship and trouble and tribulation, he could have said, look, I ain't going on with this here. This is it. This too hard. And a lot of people think life too hard and won't give up and quit. But I'm going to tell you, you need to know, we all need to know why we're here. And God, I'm going to tell you, by the Spirit of God, will reveal to you your end from the beginning. Sometimes you see things that seem so far-fetched, of what your life and what God is showing you the blueprint, and you're so far away from it that some people never make an attempt to even pursue it. And the devil talks them out and say, oh, you can't do that. That can never happen in your life. You ain't got enough money. You ain't smart enough. You ain't got enough education. You don't know the right people. All of these things begin to pull you out of the destiny that God created for you. Praise God. God wants you to know why you're here. Because if you don't know why you're here, any road will get you there. You just take any path in life you want if you don't know why you're here. God wants you to know why you're here so that you will be able to focus, so you will be able to prioritize, so that your pursuit will be right, so that you don't spend your life running after the wrong thing or following after the wrong thing. And it's never too late to find the purpose of God. Because God's purpose is eternal. It was created before you was born. Somebody might say, well, I'm too old now. I done lived my life. I done messed up. So? We're going to see that your past don't matter. It's what you do with you right now. You can waste a lot of years. You can waste time. You know, people say, you know, killing time. What you doing? Just killing time. You ain't supposed to kill time. You're supposed to use it. I'm just killing time. What that means that you're not doing anything contributing to your purpose for being here. You're letting all those precious moments go by. What you doing? What you doing today? Just killing time. Well, you're killing your purpose. We have to make wise use of our time. You have to use your time wisely. Amen? And God will show you, everybody in here, if there's a blueprint in heaven, then I'll guarantee there's a blueprint that's been put in your heart. You've seen yourself doing something that maybe you're not doing right now, or maybe that seems far off. People sometimes have business ideas that they die with. Die with business inside them. Die with ministry gifts on the inside that was never explored and never tapped. Some of the biggest dreams God ever gave to man is in the graveyard. People die with dreams in their life, and at the end of their life, they're unfulfilled, and they wonder, what was life all about? Well, I'm going to tell you, God wants you to discover your purpose, and he wants you to know it. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter, what I tell you, chapter 5. Look at what he says. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Christ shall give you revelation. He will give you insight. When he is the light of the world, isn't he? He said, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is the light of life? It is the reason for your existence. He will give you the light of life, the light you need to live your life, so that you live your life on purpose. That you live your life with a purpose. See, one of the things that almost drove me to suicide was having no reason for being here. I said, you know, if I can have some money in my pocket, and you know, when you're 20 years old, you don't need a lot. When you ain't got no bills, no responsibility. I said, if I can get me a car, get me some money where I'm not broke, and give me a lady, I'm going to be all right. And you know what? I had all of that and was empty inside. I said, there's got to be more to life than this. I got all this stuff here that says it's going to make me happy, and then none of this stuff making me happy. And I'm still empty inside. Something is still missing. And what it was, a reason for being. Because only God knows why you were created. Amen? The only people that know why you're created is the people that God revealed it to. Like your parents. Your parents sometimes can see something in you. And God say, now shoot them this way right here like an arrow. Point them in the direction of their destiny. create opportunities for them in this area because they got a gift. There's an anointing. There's a grace on their life for this. You can see it in children. So a parent's responsibility is to steer that child in the direction of their destiny until they can discover it for themselves.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody say, Christ shall give me light. When is he going to give you light? He going to give you light today, now. He ain't waiting 3 weeks to give you light. That's 3 weeks wasted. God wants you to have light today. He wants you to know today. He wants you to make whatever adjustment you got to make. Make the adjustment today to get back or to stay or to fine-tune your course. Amen? Life is like it's like having a GPS. You know, you get off course, what happens when you miss a turn? It recalculate, reroute. It's going to put you back on the path you're supposed to be on. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is like the GPS of life. Hallelujah. I know y'all thinking about it. I know you're thinking about it. All right, listen to this here. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, how does a fool walk? A fool walks with no purpose in mind. A fool walks with no destination in sight. He's not shooting for anything. He's just living his life haphazardly. Whatever come, gonna come. Whatever happen, just gonna happen. If a wind won't blow me that way, I just go this way. If another wind won't come this way and blow me that way, I just go that way. That's the way people in this church hop. Well, whatever, however the Spirit lead me, that ain't the Spirit. Well, the Spirit lead me here this week. The Spirit led me there the next week. Spirit led me. That ain't the Spirit. Because you act like the Spirit don't have a mind. The Holy Spirit can tell you right where you need to be. Ain't no special grace for church hopping. Get in a place and you get planted there. Amen. Glory to God, because God gives you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, cautiously, on purpose, not as a fool, but as a wise. Now, he said, now, if you're going to do wise, how do you know when you're living your life wisely? Because you're redeeming the time. That means that you are making time work for you, not against you. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're living in an evil day. We're living in bad, bad times out there in the world. So you have to make wise use of your time. Redeem the time, he says. That means take advantage of the opportunities that you are given. Take advantage of the graces that God has put in your life. I mean, dream big.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And use your time wise. We waste so much time. And the devil is good at creating distraction. He's good at creating time stealers. They had this little game on the phone called Candy Crush. There's a bunch of them. Now, I ain't played one in so long, I can't remember the names of them. But I remember somebody said, you ought to play this game. It's interesting. And, boy, it's challenging. And then you got to keep going, find out how many levels it's got. Then you're up to, like, level number 35. What level you on, 27? I'm on 35. How you got up there? You got to work on it. You know, but one way you can get to level number 37 is you got to spend some time. So you can spend hours mashing buttons.
Wasting time.
Killing time. Just killing it. Just wiping it out. Stuff not getting done. Not contributing to your purpose. Misdirected. You have no focus. And you know, Facebook. All right, I don't hear amen, I hear groans this morning. What's all them? What's all these groans I'm hearing up in here? You're supposed to say amen. You ain't supposed to. You're supposed spend hours and hours on Facebook looking at other people's business? What about your business? Listen, there's a benefit to anything. But if you go too far with it, then it becomes not a benefit but a curse to you. Think about how you spend your time. How do you spend your time? You can spend 4 hours on the computer or playing a game, but a two-hour church service too long. The pastor went 2 hours a day. That don't make no sense having church that long. What you gonna do with the time you wasn't at church? You gonna be on that game, on that Facebook. Some people bring their phone in here and try to and they walk in deception because they want everybody to think they're on a Bible app. The Bible ain't never even been open. Or they open the Bible in case somebody look where they can switch it quick. I got my Bible app open, but you got some other stuff open too. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. That means that you don't have time to waste. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Everybody in here is supposed to understand what God's will is for them. And you get it out of the word, and you get it by seeking God. Don't be unwise, but understanding. We're supposed to have an understanding of what the will of God is so that we are not deceived and that we're not intoxicated with the wrong thing. Next verse, what does it say? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. We should be spending our time making sure that we are staying full of the Holy Ghost. Speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Giving thanks. That's what we're supposed to be. Spend our time giving thanks. Spend our time doing good things. Amen. Praise God. So God wants you to know what his will is. Understanding what his will is means also understanding why you were created and why you're here. While you're on this earth, you should be focused, and all of us, we should be focused on doing God's will. Everybody say, doing his will. Doing his will. So, I'm going to tell you, that's a novel concept right there. Doing God's will. Everybody say it again. Say, doing God's will.
Doing God's
say
will.
It again. I'm here
for the purpose
of doing God's will.
Of doing God's will.
Say, I am here
to do God's will.
I'm here
right now
created
to do God's will.
I was created for his pleasure,
not him for mine.
God ain't created. He is the creator. But I'm going to tell you, God don't exist for your pleasure.
Amen.
You exist for his.
Amen.
Now, does he give you pleasure? Absolutely. I delight to do thy will, O God. There's pleasure in doing the will of God, but Satan has painted the will of God as some abstract thing that is so unpleasing and unpleasant that nobody really wants to submit and do the will of God because they think it's so bad. I don't want to be in the will of God all the way.
Oh, wow.
What you mean? You don't want to be all the way in the will of God. I just want to be in the will of God a little bit. No, you got to get all in.
Yeah.
You can't be in the will of God a little bit.
Yeah.
Either you're in or you're out.
Amen.
I want to be in the will of God. Now, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, look at this next verse. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Laid up there meaning reserved in heaven. which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearance. There's a crown of righteousness that's been reserved for you. Thou hast met him with the blessings of goodness. Thou hast placed a crown of pure gold on his head. What kind of crown is that? I believe it's a crown of righteousness. It is the crown of eternal blessedness. Paul said, I have been working and I've been involved in my purpose in accomplishing what God assigned for me to do because there's a crown. That's the prize. I want to be crowned with a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now look at verse number 7. We're going to focus on that for a few moments. I'm going to go through it really quick, so listen intently. Everybody say, tell your neighbor, say, listen quickly. Yeah, so say, pay attention. All right, now listen to this right here. He said, fight the good fight. Are you fighting? Now this is for you now. I'm talking to you individually. Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you really living by faith? Are you practicing your faith? Are you growing your faith? Is your faith getting bigger? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you really living by faith? Now, only you can answer that. You see, because the devil has devised tools and weapons that are designed to keep you from fighting a good fight. He brings persecution, and we're going to see more persecution than we've ever seen for true believers. Watered down believers are not going to be persecuted because they're not going to take a stand. But real, true, bona fide believers are going to be persecuted for what they believe. And it'll come on their jobs. It'll come in society. It'll come in social settings. There'll be a persecution, a pushing against you for you to be quiet. There'll be trouble and tribulation, hardship. The cares of this life, the pleasures of life, the offenses that come from being in relationship with other people. These are all things that are designed to keep you out of the fight of faith. The cares of this life, for instance, like anxiety and worries, if not handled properly. Now, everybody have cares come to them, but there's a proper way for you to handle cares. Do you know the proper way to handle a care, a worry, or concern? You're supposed to cast it on to the Lord. Now, are you practicing that? Do you practice giving those cares to God? Because if you don't, then they will cause you to have a wrong focus. Instead of looking at God and looking at your purpose, you'll start focusing on your problems. Now you got misdirected, misguided focus. That means that you're seeing the wrong thing. Amen? Praise God. To focus is to concentrate. What you focus on or concentrate on will become the center of attention and activity in your life. What you focus on is what becomes the center of your life. If you're not focused on Jesus, he's not going to be the center. Whatever you focus on is what's going to take over. So Satan wants to distract you so that your eyes are not on Jesus when the scripture says looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, because he's the one that holds the key and the plan for your life. Glory to God.
Glory to God. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety
of
music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On.
online anytime, 24/7 at www.